I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Winning is good. Winning is much more fun than the other thing. Right? And it may seem so daunting what you're looking at, facing, dealing with today, but nothing's too big for God. Nothing is too hard for Him. And faith is the victory that overcomes the whole world. When you're born again, you're not born again a loser. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world, the scripture said. You are born an overcomer because our spiritual DNA, if you will, is of God. And there's no loss and defeat in God. He's just all victory all the time. And the scripture says that those that follow Him, trust Him, He always causes us to triumph. So you can overcome. You can come out victorious in this situation you're in right now. And you're in a good place. Come and joining us today to get built up so that you can overcome. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking you for the quickening of your Holy Spirit, the anointing that leads and guides us into all the truth and brings to our remembrance everything you've said to us, even shows us things to come. Show us, Lord, our next steps and the next parts and add to us. We ask for it in Jesus' name, and give everyone ears to hear and hearts that can discern and understand, and we purpose to be doers of what you show us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go please to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians 10. We've been on a series now for a number of weeks. We're actually nearing the end of it here, that we're calling Overcoming Unbelief. And you might say, well, I thought this was faith school, so why are we talking about unbelief? Because when you want to walk in faith, unbelief's the thing you don't want to do. And many times, people are in unbelief, and they're not recognizing it. They're not calling it that. I've even heard people say, oh, well, you know, I believe in God, and in the next 20 minutes of what they described was gross unbelief. Well, you know, the Bible said even the demons believe in God and tremble, but it does them no good. It's not an active living faith. So the scripture tells us a lot about this thing called unbelief. It's called evil. It is something that steals and robs God's people of what they should have. And if the scripture gives, you know, chapters and chapters and chapters to a subject, you ought to know about it. And being aware of it helps you to recognize it, whether it's in your life or somebody else's life, and you help you to catch yourself and go, stop that, stop that. Don't yield to that and go the right way. So, growth involves awareness. You're not going to fix something if you don't know it's a problem. And so part of growing up is that you become aware, oh, I've been doing that. That's not good. I need to change that, right? Maybe you didn't see it in the beginning, and guess what? You grow another month and a year, and you'll come to something else, and you go, oh, that's not so good. That's part of growing up. If you're never seeing any issues and making any changes, you're not growing. You're not developing. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They did all eat the same spiritual food. They did all drink the same spiritual drink." So he's talking about that first generation of Israelites that God brought out of Egypt through mighty signs and wonders. And he said, he's showing, this is the New Testament, of course, he's showing that it portrays New Testament redemptive realities. Everything that happened to them is a type of spiritual reality and redemption for us. He said, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, or some translations say that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. You know, more than once, they're out in the wilderness in the desert and they're out of water. And the Lord brought water out of the rock, which is a miracle. And not just a few gallons. I mean, it had to be enough to quench the thirst of 2 million people and all of their livestock, their sheep and cows and goats and camels and horses and all of that. We're talking about rivers of water. And, you know, Jesus cried, the scripture said, on the last day of the feast, and said, you know, everybody that comes to him and believes on him, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Who is the Spirit of Christ. And so whether the world realizes it or not, if you're without God and without Christ, you are starving. You are dying of thirst. And oh, the waters, hallelujah, the waters of salvation in Christ are the only thing that will slake and satisfy that thirst. Anybody that's received him, can you testify that he satisfies? Hallelujah. He satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry heart. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, verse 5 goes on to say, though, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now remind me of what you have to please God. Faith. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, that's something we ought to keep in mind all the time, right? It's, faith is not optional. Faith is not just a good suggestion, an ideal to shoot for eventually. If we pray a prayer that's not in faith, that prayer is not pleasing to God. If we give an offering, but we didn't do it in faith, that offering's not pleasing to God. Anything you might do is not going to please God unless and until you do it in faith, with faith, which is, you know, why we have faith school, right? Because, I mean, this is a big thing. This is how you get saved. This is how you go to heaven instead of hell. This is how you receive all the blessings of God, how you overcome in this life and in this world, how you please God every day and every night. Somebody say, thank God,
thank God for faith.
Now, he said God wasn't pleased with them, obviously because of that lack of faith, which is evidenced by their unbelief. Many of them were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples for us, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, he goes through a partial list of what we've been studying in this series we're calling Overcoming Unbelief. And much of this is found in Exodus, the book of Exodus, and the book of Numbers. And it follows their journeys out of Egypt, and eventually, you know, to the promised land. They were supposed to come out of Egypt and then after a short trek, go into the promised land. But they didn't. They wouldn't listen to the Lord. They wouldn't trust him. They wouldn't believe him. So they wound up going round and round in circles out in a desolate dry place. You know, the way of the transgressor is hard. And that's something you need to understand. When things are just, you know, there's always going to be some challenges in life. But you're supposed to overcome and have victories. And you're supposed to have some good times. And you're supposed to enjoy some good things. Not that there won't be challenges and tests. There will, but you're supposed to overcome. When it just stays bad all the time and nothing works and it goes from bad to worse to bad to worse and is tormenting to live, that's not God. That's not God's plan for your life. Can you see that this is a type going around and around in the desert? Going around and around in circles, accomplishing nothing, dry, bleak, barren. This is being out of God's will. This is missing His plan. So he says God wasn't pleased with that. He said, it's an example for us not to do what they did. Verse 7, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's when they made those golden calves. And they said they were going to replace Moses and Aaron with some new leaders to take them back to Egypt. And they replaced God with golden calves. Now that's about the extreme of unbelief. Now, through this whole study, we have seen... In fact, I'll just do a little bit of review because it's been a while since we started. There were 10 events of unbelief leading up to Kadesh Barnea when God told them, you're not going in. And then there were 5 after that that they still never learned their lesson. And what we see is characteristics or symptoms, if you will, of unbelief. And it's exactly the same today. The first one was in Exodus 14 at the Red Sea, the waters of Marah. And it said they murmured. They spoke against Moses and Aaron, and they spoke against, and they grumbled, they complained and blamed. Everybody say complaining, and blaming, is unbelief. See, if you're in faith, you don't do that. If you're in faith, well, just think about it. If you're griping about the situation, are you excited about a good outcome? No. Can you see that? Even if it's challenging and tough, if you're convinced God's heard your prayer, God's working on this thing, you're about to see a whole change and a breakthrough, right? Yes. Then what is there to complain about? Just hold your ground, right? Yes. And what is there to blame somebody else about? So see, you're not in faith when you're complaining and blaming. The second one, I said it wrong. They feared at the Red Sea. That's Exodus 14. Then they murmured at the waters of Marah. That's Exodus 15. Then in the wilderness of Zin, they looked back, about going back to Egypt. Exodus 16. And then in the manna test, they disobeyed God's instruction. That's Exodus 16 as well. Then they refused to do what He said on the Sabbath day. Unbelief is disobedient. Won't follow instructions. Because, see, it takes trust to just say, well, the Lord said, you know, He'd give us twice as much on the sixth day. And there won't be any out there. So just trust Him and do what He said. It takes trust. And then they tested God at Rephidim. And then they replaced God at Mount Sinai with the golden calves. And so we're going to see, the reason I bring that up is we're going to see that again in that that's kind of the ultimate expression of unbelief when you take the step of, I'm not even going to have God as my God anymore. I'm replacing God with something else. And if you think, well, you know, that's, you know, we don't have idolatry today like they did back then. Well, you hadn't traveled much. Oh, there's false gods and false religions everywhere. But at the same time, you can have, any number of things as your God that you worship, that you idolize, that you serve, that you live for, instead of the one and only God who made the heavens and the earth. And that is idolatry. So keep reading here in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 said, verse 8, "Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. That's the event we're up to right now. It's the 15th and the last event in our study. And it's described right here in 1 Corinthians 10. So there's a number of things leading up to this that we'll have to look at to get a fuller picture. Have you got time?
Yes.
Huh? Maybe you can come back tomorrow's class and next class and next class, because this is going to take just a little bit. Go back with me now to Numbers, the 22nd chapter. Numbers 22. And if you're just now joining us in the series, let me encourage you. Go online to faithschool.org and look back at the beginning of this series, because there's a bunch of lessons that we've had prior to this. There's no charge, and I believe it'll benefit you to go through the previous ones leading up to this. Now, in our study, we're up to Numbers 22. We started all the way back in Exodus 12 and 13, and now we've come all the way up to this point in our study. If you want to see a complete list of the journeys of Israel through this thing, it's in chapter 33 of Numbers. It gives a complete list of every place they stopped and what they did. But we're only dealing with the main events where they chose to doubt God instead of trust Him. Because 1 Corinthians and Hebrews 3 and other places warning us not to do that. So we want to know what they did, so we make sure we don't do that. Y'all with me? Not now, not tomorrow, not next year. Now, in Numbers 22, it says, "The children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites." So they'd had a couple of battles by this time that God had given them victory. And verse 3, "Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many." You got to remember, one scripture said there were 603,000 fighting age men, just the fighting age men. Well, you add to that the older people, men and women, and the women and the children, you're talking probably at least a couple of million. So yeah, if you looked out at a camp of a couple of million people, that's a lot of people. And that's what he's seeing, and he's seeing that as a threat to them and their country. And he was sore afraid because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. "Moab said to the elders of Midian, 'Now shall this company lick up all that are around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field.' And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, 'Behold, there's a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray you, curse me this people, for they're too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot," and wot means know, "I know that he whom you blessed is blessed, and he whom you cursed is cursed." And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand and came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Now this is something that ancient peoples knew better than a lot of modern peoples. he, even though he's not a godly man, and he worships, the god of Moab and some of those things are awful things. You don't even want to try to find out about them. But he had seen the power of blessing and cursing. And you understand, you're not going to pay large sums of money for somebody to come do something you don't think will make any difference. Right? And, I mean, if anybody could do it, it'd be random. And if it was real common, you probably wouldn't have to pay anybody to do it. But no, he recognized he's a king. And he recognized this man Balaam. And you'll find out through reading other passages, Balaam was a genuine prophet of God. Now, I know that might sound strange if you know some of the other scriptures, but we may see some things in looking at it. And the reason I'm talking about this is because all of this is what led up to the scripture we read in 1 Corinthians, where they fell in one day, what was it, 23,000. This is what led up to this. So everybody said out loud, blessing.
And cursing.
Blessing and cursing. Many have not understood today. They, you know, because we have colleges and universities and people have studied and think they're smart, that you know, they see blessing and cursing as ignorant superstition. But that's them being ignorant. Because the truth is, every endeavor, the success or failure of it, has more to do with the spiritual connection and backing than any other thing.
Amen.
Hmm? It's true. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. And Balak, he knew it. He had seen it. And so he sees this 2 million people and this giant force, and he knows, I can't deal with that. I can't overcome that unless, unless they were cursed. And instead of blessed. To bless means to empower to succeed, to bring something on its way forward to its end result and success. Well, curse is the opposite. Curse is to stop it and restrict it and bring it down and bring it to defeat and failure. And is there anything in this word about blessing and cursing? And, oh, man. It's just, you know, when God brought the people out of Egyptian bondage, and at one point, you know, he had them on this mount pronounce blessing and on this mount pronounce the cursing. And if you read, you know, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, that's the whole thing. Is if you will listen to God, if you'll obey Him, all these blessings will come on you. Yes. Hallelujah. Blessed when you go out, blessed when you come in, blessed in your basket, blessed in your store, everything you put your hand to, right? Yes. Your enemies will run from you multiple ways. But if you don't, if you ignore God, if you reject God, if you disobey Him, if you rebel against Him and replace Him with other gods, all these curses will be on you. And so that is still true today. There's blessing and cursing in the earth. And the great, wonderful thing about being a Christian is that Galatians 3 said, we've been redeemed. Hallelujah, from the curse of the law. Jesus was made a curse for us. Hallelujah, when He hung on the tree, He became a curse for us, and that redeemed us. Oh, somebody say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. And it goes on to say, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. You know, many of us don't have a Hebrew Jewish heritage or lineage, so we can't claim any of the blessing of Abraham, except now, if you're in Christ, I can claim the whole thing. Hallelujah. It's mine. It's mine. I lost the curse. I got the blessing. Woo! If you don't think that's a reason to be a Christian, you're not paying attention. In fact, let me lead you in a prayer right now. If you haven't done this, do it. If you need to reaffirm, reaffirm. Say it out loud. Father God,
I confess you
as the God of my life.
And I confess Jesus
as my Lord
and my Savior.
I believe
He hung on the cross
and became accursed
for me,
and that you raised Him from the dead.
And He's alive right now.
King of kings,
Lord of lords,
soon to come again.
Jesus,
you are my Lord.
You are my Savior.
Thank you for redeeming me.
Thank you for blessing me.
I am yours.
You are mine
for all time.
Hallelujah.
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 Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory.
Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph.
Hallelujah. So that's what Balak knew. And many ancient peoples knew this.
And what people call primitive groups even today, in the wilds of this or the jungles of this, they know cursing is real and blessing is real. And they seek these things. Even if they don't know God, they know spiritual things are real. And not everything is good. There's evil things. And our time's up again today.
So say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome this world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Well, we're just getting into this today, so come back tomorrow and we're going to learn more about the blessing and how to stay out of unbelief. And you are coming up.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and prepare for your victory. Go ahead and get ready for it, because it is yours.
We'll see you next time here in Faith.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.